FedRAMP cloud security standards aren't enough for the Defense Department. A new policy details more requirements for vendors. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller writes about DOD's cloud security requirements in Inside the Reporter's Notebook. He joins us now with the latest. Jason, good morning. Jason, do we have you?
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Hey, look at that.
Hey, we've got the bus with the wheels all on, and here's Jason Miller. So why is FedRAMP not good enough for DOD?
Well, I think we know the basic reason why stricter security standards are needed. I mean, this is DOD for all the sake of what their needs are. But what's interesting is it's unclear why not just stick with FedRAMP as they develop different levels of security. Now, again, DOD CIO Terry Takai, who spoke last week at a NIST Cloud Mobile Conference, she made this comment about how we're going to develop our own set of security standards for the cloud. And that was actually a little head-scratching because we heard that on in the audience, and I was watching by webcast, and there was no follow-up, there was no context. So I wrote about this in my reporter's notebook, and in fact, I got a nice, if you will, Twitter note from an astute reader, listener, who says, actually, here's a link. Check out the DISA Cloud security standard website, which I did, and there was released in early March a new set of standards that actually explained in many ways what Takai was talking about at the event. And basically what it comes down to is DOD is saying, okay, we know what FedRAMP are. Those are, if you will, the floor standards for cloud security. You can build up on that floor, and that's what they've did. So throughout this entire process, the whole idea was, let's get better, let's look at FedRAMP and then make them better. And I think that's what you're seeing here now. Now, there's a lot of challenges around these stricter security standards, and I think, you know, I've talked to some people in government, and they've told me one of their biggest challenges, and I think everyone faces it, not just DOD, is how to integrate the current set of initiatives. And we're talking about, you know, like the Einstein program from Homeland Security Department, or the Trusted Internet Connections Initiative, which is, you know, to secure the internet gateways that every agency uses, you know, reduce them and secure them. How do those initiatives fit in with cloud security? Because when you have an internet gateway, for instance, a tick, that tick now extends out to the cloud provider. Does it just go to the agency network access point? There's a lot of unanswered questions, and I think part of what DOD is trying to do is wrestle with some of those unanswered questions.
And if they're saying that FedRAMP isn't good enough for them, and it's understandable, it is the Defense Department, it raises the question, however, what do others think? Is FedRAMP good enough for anyone?
Well, remember, GSA, DOD, and Homeland Security Department, which are on the Joint Authorization Board, the JAB board for DOD, for FedRAMP, which approves, gives them the initial authority to operate, for instance, for all cloud providers who make it through the standards. They've always said this is just a starting point, and it's okay for agencies, again, to build on that security floor, if you kind of use the analogy of a house. But at the same time, it's interesting that, you know, the DOD approved, was part of that approval process of, okay, what are the baseline standards? And so why, what about those baseline standards aren't good enough for DOD? And there's maybe some good reasons, but at the same time, there are some head scratchers. So let me just give you one quick example. I went through the document just briefly. It's like 242-page document. I don't suggest reading it all unless if this really, you know, if you have some insomnia. But they do outline requirements for instance, infrastructure as a service, software as a service, platform as a service that build on the security controls of FedRAMP. I'll give you one quick example. DoD components must use cryptography to protect the confidentiality and integrity of remote access sessions. That means every time you log on to the network through this, obviously, cloud provider, you have to, your session, the connection between you and the database, the whatever application you're working on has to be encrypted. And, well, does that make sense for everybody? Why wouldn't that be part of the FedRAMP standards? Now, that's at the low level, so maybe someone's saying, well, you know, if you're just, you know, sending an email, why would you want to encrypt that email? That's a whole different level of complexity. So I think what DOD is looking at here is their needs they can't say we have situational needs. We're just going to start with, again, a higher level floor than most other agencies.
Well, there's a lot of questions there. By the way, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. That idea of encryption is pretty standard in all of the mobile application development that's going on in DOD and every agency, because when you use a mobile device, it's encrypting all communications right on there, and they're decrypted at the other end. So that shouldn't be something that's all that technically odd nowadays.
No, and I was just using that as an example. Again, yeah. there was a whole
240
set of examples.
Pages of it.
Yeah.
But also, for the really secure stuff that has to be top secret, CIPRNet type of material, isn't the DoD going to use its own clouds anyway and not need a FedRAMP because it's all going to be government-owned?
Correct. And in fact, they say in the guidance talks about, for instance, future plans, future versions will be released this year. They're going to provide refinements to these standards. And then DISA, who actually wrote these standards, the Defense Information Systems Agency, will provide guidance to host classified and up to including secret data mission applications in the cloud computing environment. So they are looking for this. And remember, let me step back for a sec. All of this effort around cloud, for DoD at least, is around what the concept of cloud brokerage, meaning like an insurance broker, a car broker, that middleman. How would that concept work within DoD? So what they're saying here is we're going to at least go up to the secret level for the cloud computing environment, which actually I think that's one of the few times you kind of have heard DoD say, here's the plan so far. Like as you said, Tom, we know that for top secret, for CIPRNet, they probably will never go into the public cloud. But for at least secret level, they seem to be saying we could figure out some kind of hybrid cloud or a public-private cloud where, you know, if it's Google or Amazon or whomever, their cloud is just cordoned off from everybody else's, but it's still in the quote-unquote public.
And, Jason, I wanted to zoom out on this a little bit because this all occurs in the context of something else you've been reporting on, and that is the steady drumbeat of departures of CIOs, both from the Defense Department and the civilian agencies. So given all of these initiatives that are now in their fourth or fifth year from the Obama administration, what's the chances of the sustainment of them as a whole new crop of people comes in?
Yeah, I mean, that is a big concern, because if you think about who's leaving, and by my count, I've done about, if you count Bernie Mazur from Interior, who's now leaving in July, and Rob Carey, who's leaving in another couple weeks from DOD, the principal deputy CIO, that makes about 8 CIOs who have either left government or have moved jobs within government since I think I started in November timeframe. And you talk about people like Simone Zickman from Commerce, who's been in the Commerce Department for about 7 years. He's on his way out and later this summer. Tony Trinkle from CMS left. You have Jerry Horton from USAID, actually moved from USAID as a CIO to the State Department as a deputy CIO looking at enterprise architecture type stuff. So you're seeing a fair amount of movement. Casey Coleman's another one who's left from after, you know, about 5 years as CIO at GSA to go to the private sector. And what you're seeing is a lot of times when you have new people come in, now these a lot of times are deputies, or a lot of times these are people who have been in government but now are looking for an expanded role, a bigger role. So you have some consistency that way. But you're right, Tom. You know, every time a CIO leaves, a top manager leaves, whether it's in the technology or acquisition or HR or wherever, things do tend to slow down. And I think that is something that you would hope to see some leadership from the Office of Management and Budget around, and also within the agencies, the secretaries and deputy secretaries. But that, I think that's a real concern. I think you're right.
And Jason, real quick before we let you go, given that turnover, what big government-wide project do you think is most at stake?
Well, I think everyone's really looking at the security project, CDM, Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation. I think that has a lot of hope, but it's also a lot of complexity in it. And remember, what DHS is doing is going through this process where they're providing agencies with the tools and the services with money that they already have, which is, I think, one of the best things about the CDM project. But agencies have to be comfortable with understanding, okay, what does DHS want from us, and what do we have to do to comply with the CDM program to be better around cybersecurity? And with new people coming in, they may not be as familiar with it as the formers, and that may take some more time.
Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Jason, thank you.
Always a pleasure.